You're listening to West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Our guest is Dr. L. Marshall Washington, the new president of Kalamazoo Valley Community College. There's only been three presidents since the college was founded in 1966. Dr. Washington makes the third. He started July 1st. He replaces Marilyn Schlack, who guided KVCC through tremendous expansion during her 35-year tenure. Dr. Washington was previously president of New River Community and Technical College in West Virginia. Welcome to West Southwest.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and I certainly am enjoying the hospitality that Kalamazoo has, so thank you.
You're actually returning to the Kalamazoo area, and we'll pick that up later, but you haven't been here in the role of president, now president of Kalamazoo Valley Community College as of July 1st. I'm going to give you a scenario. This will help people get to know you. Imagine that you were at a meet and greet with members of the community, and you only had 1 to 2 minutes to spend with each person. What would you say? What would you most want them to know about you?
One, I would want them to know that I'm passionate about educating individuals, and especially making sure that we get the underserved. The other piece that I would want them to know is about my family, and that I'm a family person, very oriented around trying to be with family and even sometimes creating family. And that means friends, sometimes not blood related, but they certainly, you've had some past interactions with those individuals and you share a good piece of yourself with them. So they family, you adopted them, they adopted you.
I know that you're married, you have three children, a daughter that's a college junior, and is it two sons that you have?
That's correct.
One is in 11th grade and one is in 10th grade. But where I want us now to start is in your childhood, when you were growing up. You grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
I did.
All of your life. Tell me about what your parents did for a living.
Both my parents were blue-collar workers, I would say. And my mother did a lot of kind of factory work growing up, worked for Whirlpool and kind of my middle school and high school years, she was an office assistant for a health clinic, a health clinic that served right there in the Mount Vernon area of Columbus. And Mount Vernon is what you would call kind of the urban black community where she was. So it was even outside of our neighborhood where we lived in the short north area of Linden in Columbus. And Linden is right outside of kind of Ohio State area. And so my mother got to do these kind of great things and community things and extend that community to us as we grew up. My dad was a mechanic. And he had a number of different jobs throughout kind of when we were growing up. But eventually, high school, he landed a job as an auto mechanic, working on the big rigs that kind of do our roads. And he retired from the state highway of Ohio. So I'm very, very proud of my parents, very proud that they instilled in me at a very early age, working hard, finding a job, and doing things that were necessary to support family. And so I'm very proud that they were able to, my brother, my sister, and I, they gave us a home life that was not always perfect, but they gave us a home life that was stable and that we certainly could make sure that we could lean on them as having that established family to do some of the things that we wanted to do. Both my sister and my brother and I have had great careers only because of my parents. We wouldn't have been able to do those types of things if my parents hadn't invested in us. And that investment was not only financial, but it was time. And it's also about making sure they tapped into the resources of the local community to make it happen for us.
Tell me about some of those resources that they tapped into.
Well, my brother and I participated in the Boys and Girls Club. And the Boys and Girls Club was located it was located in the downtown area, and so we had to take the bus to get there, or someone had to drop us off in order for us to get there. And so growing up in the city of Columbus in the 70s and the 80s, when we grew up, I think nowadays, I said, I don't think I would let my child get on a city bus, let alone go someplace that's 30 minutes away from my home, And know that they were going to be providing the safe environment that the Boys and Girls Club does. But my parents did. They made sure we had, you know, enough money to get there. Sometimes we didn't spend our money the appropriate way, so we had to hike our way back home. Those 30 minutes turned into an hour in order to walk home. But that was one of the things that we did. We did the NYSP program, a sports program that Ohio State University offered. So we did that during the summer times. The local library, my parents were always about trying to engage us in reading activities. So making sure that our local library, we were doing things at the library. And then our local kind of community center, it was called the St. Stephen's Community Center. And they had a variety of activities for us to do, cooking, basketball. I remember craft time. And then our local church. That was one of the other big pieces in our life was, you know, and some of those times I look back now, my mother in the morning time, she would have the music blaring at 8 o'clock in the morning on Sundays just to say, it's time to get up and we're going to praise the Lord today. And you've done this whole thing all these other 6 days, so get on up and make it happen. So those were some of the things that my parents really engaged us in and that were very valuable to me. And then one of the most important programs for me and my development was the Upward Bound program. And I was involved in the Ohio Wesleyan University Upward Bound program, which really helped propel me to putting together a plan for what I would say what I wanted to do in college. And help me, some of those things that your parents put in you, that here another set of individuals come into your life and they start dipping into some of that stuff and making those things just kind of shine. So I don't say Upward Bound did it all for me, but Upward Bound provided kind of another way of where my parents probably planted the seed. Now someone else came and watered and tried to pull some of the weeds out and really tried to make this thing grow. That's Marshall.
When you got involved with the Upward Bound program, about what grade or how old were you?
I was in the ninth grade.
What did you envision for yourself as a career as you were growing up?
I had a job at the local library. I was a volunteer. Probably I started that volunteer job when I was 12 or 13. So having to walk from my home to the library was about 20 minutes. And walking across the tracks, and I say the railroad tracks, because I was walking into another neighborhood when we walked across the railroad tracks. And my parents made sure, and in our neighborhood at that time, I had aunts and uncles, and these are aunts and uncles that come to know now today, they weren't related. They were friends of my parents. And so I knew a lot of these people walking through the neighborhood that would say hello to me or say, you know, we got your eye on you. So I was walking to the library and I would say my experience working at the library as a volunteer, I thought that today I would be a librarian.
And so when you got to Upward Bound, you said that they helped shape perhaps maybe what you might do as a career.
Well, what happened there was here you had individuals that came together from the other high schools that were in Columbus and kids just like myself. We didn't know what we didn't know at the time. We were there just to have some fun. I was a good student, and I've always been kind of a good student, but I became a better student through Upward Bound, through some of the practices such as tutoring and discipline tutoring, and that we had to spend some time twice a week in this tutoring session that was mandated throughout the year. But then we also got involved in activities that I didn't know that I could become I never really given an oratorical speech before. And here I got involved in an oratorical contest because of Upward Bound and got to compete against other folks in the Upward Bound program. And then within the state, they had these things called the Upward Bound Olympics. And so you had other programs across the state of Ohio at that time. And even as I kind of advanced my professional career, learned that these Upward Bound programs weren't just in Ohio, but now they're also across the nation. And we got to see other kids like myself and teenagers like myself who participated in these Upward Bound Olympics. So we had things like the speech contest, basketball, volleyball, swimming, We had academic contests. So we would take these tests, mathematics, pre-calc, biology, chemistry, physics. We took these things and you competed against these individuals in these in these kind of tests, and then you got awarded at the end of the day. And that was one of the experiences in Upward Bound that made me know that I can do this. I was thrown into a situation that, yes, it caused me a little bit of stress because I didn't know really what I was doing, but it really helped me to know that given the right support, given the right encouragement and the right motivation, I could do some things. I had these great mentors through Upward Bound. We had a reunion this past summer with the Upward Bound program. And going back and being able to meet and reacquaint myself with the directors that had a direct impact on my life was phenomenal, because these were the individuals who were aunts and uncles in my life who put something in me.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. We're speaking with Dr. L. Marshall Washington, the new president of Kalamazoo Valley Community College. He's no stranger to the area. He was once a vice president for student services at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek. Dr. Washington then went on to Pennsylvania, where he was vice president and CEO of Lancaster Campus of Harrisburg Area College. More recently, he was president of New River Community and Technical College in West Virginia. Now, let's move to present day. What made you interested in applying at KVCC, especially knowing that your predecessor, Marilyn Schlack, she had been there for 35 years? What made you say, that's right, I'll do this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that was one of the most intriguing reasons that attracted me to the institution as well, because there was stability that I knew that I would be coming into an organization that, after doing all my research, stable financially, stable regarding the health of the organization, stable regarding leadership from the governance standpoint, that you had a longstanding board of trustees, and also, too, that you had this rich history of faculty members and staff members, when I was looking through some of the directory, that folks had been there long term. And so I wanted to be a part of that. And also, too, with the attraction was about the strong community of Kalamazoo relative to education. When you had the Kalamazoo Promise that's associated with KVCC, Kalamazoo, that was one of the most intriguing pieces as well, because here you had a community that has taken on the piece regarding, we want all of our citizens to have an education, and we want to make sure that education goes beyond high school.
I know that in a news release issued at the time of your appointment, you noted that following in the footsteps of Marilyn Schlack will be a tall order. How do you plan to distinguish yourself and allow people to get to know who you are?
Well, one of the things that I've been doing is meeting informally with folks, and I plan to meet much more formally with individuals throughout the community. My thing is, I will be attending events, and already started to attend events at churches and festivals, and getting out to meet people one-on-one, hosting dinners and lunches for individuals to come and meet with me one-on-one or within a group. I also want to get to know people for who they are and what they're doing. So hopefully individuals will also reach out to me and invite me out to special events to talk, to meet with their constituents or their family. My thing is, I'm everyone's president in this sense, that I don't want to necessarily say that I am the president of Kalamazoo Valley, but I also want to extend myself to the entire community, that if we have individuals that felt disenfranchised by Kalamazoo Valley in the past, tell me about it. What was the issue? And let's solve that issue, and then let's move on. But if there's other folks that we've had a great relationship in the past, let's celebrate what was great about that. Tell me about it, and let's move on in that direction. So there's a two-way street here. I want to extend myself to folks, but I hope that other folks will also extend themselves to me as well. That's how I'm going to distinguish myself, is being open and also letting folks know that I'm here. I'm here to help serve the community.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the key features of your leadership style?
Just yesterday, I got a message from a former faculty member who most recently at my former institution, they had convocation. And she sent me a message and said, I'm sitting here at this meeting and I'm so sad that I didn't get to say goodbye to you. And I'm sad because you're not here today. And she said, one of the things that I'm sad about is that you always seem to extend yourself to people, and I felt like I was sometimes the only person in the room when you were talking, and you were talking to sometimes hundreds of people in the crowd. And I would say part of that is that I try to share a little bit about who I am so that folks can know that I'm just like everybody else. I put one leg in the pants every day, and that I try to model my life through some of the principles that I learned from my parents, through that faith experience that my mother has continually exposed us to. So that's how I lead. I try to lead with that in mind, that I want to be open to individuals. I want to listen. I want to hear. And then when we have to come to a decision making, I'm going to involve people in providing me some information. Now, how that's done is probably done very differently depending on what that decision is about. But most of the time, I try my best to seek input regarding things because, again, we're dealing with public dollars, we're dealing with public education, and we have to elicit public input. And that means the people that I've hired, I want them to do the job that they've been instilled to do, provide that information to me, and then let's jointly sit at the table, let's talk about particular items, deliberate, and then we make a decision and move forward. Once those decisions are made, I would hope that everyone would come on board. But when I get back to this person who had shared this experience with me just yesterday about, she said, I felt that you shared information, even if it was bad, that you shared the information, you was transparent, and you talked about it openly so that we all got to hear what was going on and not just kind of move on and kind of, you know, sometimes I think as leaders, we do get lots of things that come our way. And sometimes you do get irritated. But we don't try our best not to show that irritation so that it doesn't get interpreted as we're irritated with the person and not irritated with the idea that we're trying to move forward.
Now let's talk about long-term goals. You've only been in the job for a month and a half, so it's not fair for you to know everything at this point. So we'll go ahead and acknowledge that on the front end. Now at KBCC, there's 4 campuses. There's been a lot of programs that have really been innovative. And at the Texas Township campus, there's the Groves Business Education Technology Center. Then in 2013, the college opened their Culinary and Allied Health Building and Food and Innovation Center. There's the Arcadia Commons campus in downtown Kalamazoo. Things are looking really, really good. And like you said, that's one of the reasons that attracted you to KBCC. What has been a mandate, if one has been shared with you so far?
Again, you mentioned I've only been here a month and a half. And I would tell you this, what I've been kind of, not a mandate from the board, but what I've talked with the board about is that over the next 90 days, and now we're into roughly right around 45 days, is I'm going to do a lot of listening and learning from our community. And hopefully what that listening and learning will do is help me to elicit what are some of the strengths of the college, what are some of our opportunities, and where do I see us building this kind of vision plan for the future. One of the things that I think is very unique about KVCC is that you have a long-term history of individuals staying with the college and being with the college. And that's a unique piece that's here. And I want to build on that. I want to talk about the long-term viability and sustainability of the college, but also, too, about succession planning. So that will be one of the pieces that, as I've even listened and learned over the last few weeks, is that we need to make sure we talk about sustaining some of the things and the unique culture and history of some of our practices. There are some things that sometimes go on in organizations that aren't necessarily captured in our policies and our procedures. But have we written down how we exercise retirements of individuals and how we celebrate individuals? Because that's a unique piece of an organization. And so those are some of the things that I'm going to be looking at for our organization, is that kind of succession planning. The other thing is that we don't want some things to die in our organization over a long period of time, because it's what has kept us together as an organization. And as we have brought on new buildings and new places that we do things, how does that culture even resonate itself to those other buildings and other places that we're now in? And even though we have new people who are there, how are they on board? They're onboarded to an organization. And I wanted us to build on some of those particular items. So I think, you know, those are some of the things that I see right offhand. The other thing is about our students. We have a new program called our KVAC program, and it's about making sure we're reaching our low-income and first-generation students that we most recently received some additional funding for. We need to make sure that we're giving opportunities for more students who are underprepared for the college experience. But how can we meet them where they are, help them get where they need to be so that they can be at the college level and be successful, so that in 2 years they can graduate, receive a certificate or an associate degree, and get a good paying job? That's some of the things that I want us to continue to focus on. The other thing is working with our employers. One of the things that, as we build new programs and we're trying to be innovative, go to the source of where the end is going to be. Is the end place that we really want to see people is in jobs. So talking with our employers and helping them contribute back to, these are the skills that are needed for this particular profession, and these are the types of skills and things that people need, and we need to get them involved in that process as we build programs, and we want to make them successful. And they also have some buy-in to that long-term wise.
That program that you talked about, tuition is free for the KVAT program. Is that right?
That is correct. It provides full tuition for students. And, you know, students just need to come in and apply and see if they're eligible. And we're doing our best to support them all the way through the whole college experience.
An issue facing higher education is the high cost of a degree and people trying to see, do I want to invest in a college degree? It's really quite costly. I think I've read somewhere some areas where you can see some improvement already, or you would like to do some improvement, shall I say. Like, what are some of the areas that you already know that you'd like to put some attention in that area?
I think when we look at some of our trades areas, that we know we want to put some more work, working with our K-12 partners. You know, when we see this kind of, we talk about what a guided pathway, and what a guided pathway means is trying to make sure we help students as they start early, like say middle school, and you know you want to be a nurse in middle school, making sure you're taking the right courses in middle school, high school, and then as you transition over to college, and let's say you take something in high school that could lend itself to some credit at the college level to meet some of the prerequisites to get into a nursing program. We want to make sure you carry those things all the way out so that parents, grandparents, uncles or aunts or friends who are helping that student know that information and can help instill in that student. If you stay on this guided pathway, at the end result, all those credits are going to count, and that you'll have this end result of that. So that means that we have to have a better relationship with our business and health professionals, and also too with our faculty regarding what does that mean at the end result based upon what we're putting into the program and we're making our curriculum decisions, that it all counts all the way through. And we're continuing to inform our accreditors and all that related to keeping people on this particular guided pathway. So I believe it's in some of our other trade areas, such as when I think about electricians and plumbers. You know, this day and age, if you call a plumber, that person is making a great living, but it takes us a little bit more time to find plumbers because plumbers are, they're not always out there. So it takes some time to find someone. We should be the place that we're working with local industry and local employers to say, how can we get more plumbers into the pipeline? And can we do something relative to an apprenticeship type of a program in order to make that happen? So those are some of the things that I would like for us to continue to look at, is building that relationship with our K-12 partners, our superintendents, our principals, and saying, how can we help our students all the way through that particular pipeline?
I know that in your last role as president at the New River Community and Technical College in West Virginia, you did increase the number of guided pathway programs there. Oftentimes, people can look to the past as an indication of what one may do in the future. So what are some of the accomplishments in your career in higher education that you're most proud of, that you think really prepares you for this position?
One of the things I'm most proud about is, in my past, is one, establishing relationships and raising dollars for projects that people had a passion for. And one of those particular pieces was when I was at Harrisburg Area Community College, we raised some money for scholarship opportunities for students. I was most proud about that because it was everyone coming together and us communicating collectively what the need was and people finding that, oh, I want to hook myself to this train and where it's going and also contribute to it so that I can make sure that I'm impacting students with my personal dollars to make an impact. So I know I can help make that happen. The other thing that I've been most proud of in the past is, you know, you think about brick and mortar projects, but working collectively sometimes with a brick and mortar project. When we moved into a completed project, it was in an allied health building wing where we were able to bring together a couple of allied health programs together. And seeing that in Southern West Virginia, there were very rare community college programs that had these particular programs highlighted and also had new equipment, but you also had business and industry and health professionals right there at the table helping us make those decisions collectively together. Again, proud about that particular program, that now it exists and now you have people who've not had those opportunities before can now get those existing opportunities. That's what I'm for. It's collectively partnering with individuals and making it happen, and then looking at that particular need to say, it's hitting a need that long-term-wise, it's going to hit a need and accomplish something for the city, the region, and our state.
What are some of the challenges that you've had to contend with as a leader in higher ed that prepares you for this role? You're proud of how you navigated through that.
Sometimes having courage where you sometimes didn't know where that courage came from. Sometimes being lonely and then seeking out how can I feel that loneliness for that moment. Sometimes being quiet and being assured that quietness doesn't necessarily mean that it's the end of time. One of the pieces that I try to do is surround myself with other individuals who are going to help empower me or help sustain me for a period of time. I also do a lot of reading. And, you know, sometimes that reading is junk reading, I call. Some of it is inspirational. But it helps me kind of balance who I am in my own head. One of the things that I like to read are comic books. So I'm an avid hero person. So I'm reading these, what they call graphic novels nowadays. That's the term for it. But that helps me to be who I am and helps me for those times when I'm feeling that I have to bring on the courage. So how do I do that in such a manner that's going to be respectful for others and also to know that it gets at my own core values and being the person that I want to be every day?
Being involved in the community is also important to you. You talked about the Boys and Girls Club. You've been on the board of the Boys and Girls Club. You've been on boards of United Way, Chamber of Commerce. And you've also, actually, I saw some of some museums even. I mean, quite broad museums, houses of worship. You've held leadership roles. You've even been on the board of directors for the American Association for Community Colleges. So if you had to complete this sentence, I wish the community knew this other thing about me.
I'm a great cook. I've done other things like in the community, like the Men Who Cook events. I've also done Dancing with the Stars in the community. I won second place in my dancing performance and second place in raising money. So I feel like I did very good in that particular event. So I would say those are two things I like the community to know about myself, is that when I give myself to the community, I certainly do. And one of the things that over the next year or so, I will be prioritizing you know, different things as they come my way and looking at what's going to be best to for the organization as I look at where we want to be and being able to serve the community in that capacity. So I certainly welcome the opportunity to join boards and be a part of different groups. But certainly I'm going to give myself about a year in order to really look at how we're going to do that.
And finally, as part of the community, students are key to that. That's why KVCC exists. How do you see yourself being relatable to the students?
Well, I'm relatable to the students because I try my best every day, even if I am to go out and be where the students are. And that means I'm in our commons area. Meaning when I'm walking through a building, I'm saying hello, and you may be doing something on your iPad, or you may be doing something on your phone, but I'm asking you to say hello to me as well when I talk. Interrupting students when they're sitting and studying, or they may be having lunch. Those are some of the things that I try and reach out to. I'm also want to be involved and be invited to our student clubs and organizations and see what their passion is all about. So I want to engage myself and extend myself to our student clubs and organizations to say, if you're doing a project, invite me. I like to help you in doing some of those things. And likewise with our students, is understanding that our students have multiple things that they are juggling. We're dealing with students that are not just traditional age students, but we're dealing with adults who are non-traditional students. We have individuals who are 50, 60, 70 years old who are coming back to school and finding that they have to manage their whole life, you know, put some of their dreams that they put on hold because they've raised children or grandchildren. Now they have the opportunity to come back. How can I help you in completing that objective? Are our programs the right length? Are we offering them at the right time? So providing my office as a way that you can come and talk to me about certain things that you are trying, you're struggling with, and seeing how can we, I can send you to the appropriate person, or if there isn't the appropriate person, am I that person to say, we may need to do this just a little bit differently. So opening the president's office door to students as well. We also have a growing population of international students, and letting our international students know that they're welcome. We want to make sure that you feel safe, that you have a place at KVCC, and we want to be able to help indoctrinate you into understanding how you can get involved in the college community and feel that you're being accepted for who you are.
Earlier, you referenced coming from a blue-collar background, a first-generation college student, is that correct?
That's correct.
And that might relate to some of your students' background. Dr. Washington, thank you so much for joining us on West Southwest.
Well, thank you.
And good luck in your presidency.
Well, I certainly appreciate the opportunity to be here, and it certainly is great to be able to speak with you as well.
For West Southwest on WMUK, I'm Earlene McMichael.